May it please the court. We're here today on a case that presents a very stark and really a singular issue, whether or not the proceedings before the St. Louis County Boundary Commission are or are not a contested case. The commission is not here before you today seeking to have a broad ruling that could affect and have general applicability to the developing jurisprudence under the APA. We are seeking a limited holding that is really of critical importance to the future actions of the Boundary Commission and will affect whether or not the Boundary Commission can continue to, in an orderly, timely, and economical manner, administer boundary changes in St. Louis County. Specifically, we're asking this court to hold that pursuant to the statute that governs the Boundary Commission's obligation to conduct a hearing and pursuant to the rules, that the hearings, actually the two hearings that were conducted on the plan of intent filed by Valley Park, were contested cases, and that the decision of the Boundary Commission can only be reviewed as a contested
case. Can you read for me the relevant part of the statute which you say requires a hearing?
It's under 72403, Your Honor, and this section generally provides that when a boundary change proposal has been submitted to the commission shall publish notice of the proposal and the date of the public hearing thereon.
So it says public hearing. It doesn't say a hearing, a contested hearing, or an adjudicatory hearing. It says a public hearing.
That's correct.
You're suggesting a public hearing with notice to the public is the same thing as the kind of adjudicatory hearing that requires contested case procedures and review?
Given the fact that the language of the statute does require a public hearing, and it does provide who is to be a party to that public hearing.
And who is to be a party?
The city that's the proposing agent, the mm-hmm. county of St. Louis, and there are other interested parties who are not strictly parties to the action, but they're taxing authorities that could be affected by the decision made by the Boundary Commission.
Does the statute say anything about what kind of procedure shall be followed at the public hearing?
The statute doesn't specifically address it, but the Boundary Commission is vested with authority to adopt the rules and regulations. And the Boundary Commission has done that and has detailed procedures, specifically in Article 7 of the Boundary Commission rules, that specify how notice is to be provided to the parties who are to receive notice of the hearing and how the hearing is to be conducted.
And what are those rules? What does it say?
I don't have the entire rules in front of me, Your Honor, but basically it provides that the parties have a right to make a presentation with the proponent proceeding first with 15 minutes. The county then gets to make its presentation for 15 minutes, and other interested parties can make a presentation.
That's nothing like what we do in contested case hearings, though.
That's correct.
You get cross-examination, you get to put on your witnesses, it's very difficult to do that in a normal case in 15
Generally,
minutes.
Generally, they're recorded, aren't they?
And these are recorded, Your Honor.
And the evidence the oral testimony is taken under oath?
It is not taken under oath. But all of these issues I'm sorry, Your Honor.
There's quite a few distinctions then
there
between
are.
Your public hearing and what we consider a contested hearing is outlined in previous cases.
And previous cases do, as I know you make a distinction, say if you're entitled, say, to a contested case, full-blown adjudicatory hearing, you just don't get one. It doesn't turn it into a non-contested case. Rather, it becomes error and you send it back down for the proper kind of hearing. But we also have cases that say there's more than one kind of hearing. You have to look and see what the statute requires. And we've recognized in some circumstances, even though the word hearing is used, it's not used in the sense of an adjudicatory hearing. And here it says public hearing, provides 15 minutes for each side. That's not what we traditionally think of as an adjudicatory hearing. Why? What is your contrary argument that it is?
Weber versus Fireman Retirement System is the
okay.
main case, Your Honor. I do rely on that case heavily. That case is distinguishable in terms of the right to a hearing was determined based on a constitutional violation, a deprivation of the property right in depriving the person of their retirement disability benefits.
That was an individual person's right, so that were adjudicated.
Correct. But they found the right to a hearing based on the Constitution or the constitutional violation of his property rights. Here, we don't have to rely on the Constitution. We have a specific statute that says a hearing shall be held before the Boundary Commission in order to hear the evidence relating to the proposal and whether it's in the best interest. Now, 536.0603 specifically provides that the parties can decide to waive procedural formalities. The Weber case was significant.
Yeah, but the procedural formalities are 15 minutes to each side, and no sworn testimony, and so forth. Those are not the procedural formalities that you have in a contested case hearing.
You can have those in a contested case hearing, and the statute specifically identifies swearing witnesses and having testimony under subject to cross-examination.
Right.
But if you are to say that in order for it to be a contested case, then Weber was wrongly decided, and you ignore 536.060 that says procedural formalities can be waived.
But you're saying the Boundary Commission's regulations interpret this language, public hearing, as a public hearing, not as an adjudicatory hearing, so you don't have parties who are contesting against each other and with cross-examination and sworn testimony and so forth. It's a different in kind. You get a review, but there's two types of review, as you well know. Review is a contested case and review is an uncontested case. The fact that you have an opportunity to present some testimony or evidence does not preclude it from being an uncontested case.
I agree with that. And a comparison I would make, Judge, is the Benton Hecht case, which we cite in our brief, which is a case that held it was not a contested case. And that was a Western District case. This court refused to accept transfer. 5 years later, this court decided Weber. And in that case, the man's retirement benefit rights were at issue. Mm-hmm. He had a hearing before the Retirement System Board, and neither his nor his lawyer asked for the right to cross-examine witnesses, which was not a right that was granted, didn't ask for the right to have witnesses sworn in before they testified, didn't ask for any of the panoply.
I understand what you're saying, but that's presuming that it was a contested case and they didn't give him his rights and they failed to object. But if here, in fact, it's a non-contested case situation, there was nothing to object to because it was treated exactly the way it should have been there. But you can't turn it into a contested case where he waived his rights if, in fact, under the statute, it was only a non-contested case.
But I don't think under the statute it was.
Well, that's my question, but I'm not clear why, but all it says is public hearing. Yeah.
I don't think the mere fact that all it says is public hearing is enough to render this something other than a contested case, particularly when you have an agency that is vested by the state with the power to promulgate rules and regulations, and they do in fact do that. Those rules and regulations are available to everybody who appears before the commission. Uh-huh. They know the hearing is limited to 15 minutes. If they want more, they can ask for it.
But that doesn't make it a contested case. That's the kind of procedure you'd have in a non-contested case, isn't
it? It's a contested case because this is an agency invested with the power to make decisions. Uh-huh. It's the Boundary Commission is required by law to render its decision only after a hearing. Whether you call this a public hearing or a hearing or whatever you want to call it, until the Boundary Commission has that hearing, it can't make a decision.
And is that different than non-contested cases?
I think in a non-contested case, there might be a requirement for a hearing. But in this case, the...
Because the same things occur at a non-contested hearing.
Right.
So what makes it, the fact that they are rendering a decision, what makes it a contested case rather than non-contested?
I can only go on what the cases have said, Judge, and that is that if it's before an agency and it is determining legal rights and privileges of specific parties, and if the hearing is required before the agency renders its decision,
what's required? So those are cases dealing with where you're required to have a true adjudicatory hearing.
Right.
And I'm wondering if there's any cases determine the language public hearing to require a traditional adjudicatory hearing as opposed to the statements that were permitted in this kind of record.
I have to go back to Weber, which in that case, the procedural formalities were even less. If that case was determined to be a contested case hearing, as it was.
But what did the statute require in that case?
Pardon me?
What did the statute require in that case?
In the Weber case? Uh-huh. The statute didn't require a hearing at all because there wasn't a statute that required a hearing.
The Constitution required a hearing.
They had to find that there was a hearing because mm-hmm. the Constitution was implicated because they were depriving him of his rights. Mm-hmm. In this case, we do have a hearing. It is called a public hearing, admittedly. But again, with the fact that the Commission has a right to promulgate rules and did promulgate rules, it provides the extra procedure.
What was the issue that was being determined at the hearing? Was it the public interest and public benefit from changing the boundaries, or whether
It was really to elicit evidence on the 11 factors the Boundary Commission is required to consider under 72403.
And making what determination?
Whether or not it's in the best interest of the county, the city doing the annexation, and the area being annexed to permit the annexation.
So it's not really an adjudication of any rights, it's an adjudication of what's in the best interest of the public, those different aspects.
Right, but it also directly adjudicates the rights of the city of Valley Park, in this case, in St. Louis County, because only those two entities mm-hmm. are really directly affected by the decision. It affects who collects tax money, whether or not the citizens in the area will be subject to additional taxation, and whether or not Valley Park will have jurisdictional obligations over the area that's being annexed.
Of course, it protects the interest of St. Louis County in planning and that kind of, because if you put to a vote of Valley Park, what would happen now would be, it'd be a vote of Valley Park and a vote of the annexed area to see whether or not they want to be annexed and they want to annex. And so they do have a say in that, the people of Valley Park mm-hmm. and the people of the annexed area. It's just protecting St. Louis County's interest, which would not necessarily be involved there.
Well, the St. Louis County's interests are directly involved, and by the statute are required to be involved.
Right.
But in this case, and this is one of the reasons the Boundary Commission saw fit to deny the proposal, is there was evidence before the Boundary Commission that Valley Park had engineered the boundaries of this annexation proposal in such a way as to exclude people who lived in the area or who would live in the area who could vote on it. So it was an attempt to avoid having a vote that would have any practical effect, and other evidence that persuaded the commission to vote against it.
But the issue about what kind of review we have doesn't really address the merits of that, which goes to the merits of maybe it was a very good decision by the Boundary Commission, but what kind of review the circuit court and this court undertake.
Right, that's the primary question. Mm-hmm. There is the second issue that counsel has raised about whether or not, if it is a contested case, the evidence was sufficient, and I can try to talk about that on my rebuttal section if there's time left to do that, but I see I'm rapidly running out of time on my first.
You are indeed. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
May it please the court, Eric Martin, counsel for the respondent, City of Valley Park. Obviously, at the heart of the matter is the criticism of Judge Clifford from treating this as an uncontested matter. And I wanted to give you a little bit of background of where Judge Clifford was and where the parties were at the time that determination was made. The Missouri Court of Appeals for Kansas City District had issued a decision in a case called Furlong versus City of Kansas City. Furlong case involved a developer who had submitted a plat to the city of Kansas City for approval. The approval was basically wrongfully denied, as it was found by the trial court, and a money judgment was entered in the developer's favor. Just briefly, the Court of Appeals indicated that no longer would we have this distinction between contested and non-contested based on procedure alone, but rather only the element of a hearing. If a hearing was present, it's contested. If there's no hearing present, it's going to be treated as a non-contested case.
And they were following the Cade decision.
That would have repealed the Cade decision. Mm-hmm. According to footnote 3 in the Furlong decision, they specifically abrogated and would no longer follow Cade. And I think there was 11 other decisions in the state. One thing, the only thing, I guess, that Mr. Hamilton and I agreed upon when we were arguing the motion to dismiss treatment of this as a non-contested case was that Judge, let's wait and see what the Supreme Court does with the Furlong matter. The Furlong matter was not accepted by this court, and basically the old law was in effect when this court issued its decision in Furlong versus City of Kansas City, whereupon Judge Clifford, in my opinion, rightly followed the law, looked at what happened here below at the Boundary Commission level, starting with the inception of the case. Under the Missouri statutes for contested cases, the first thing that happens is the administrative agency sends a notice of initiation of the case out to the parties that indicates on the face of the notice whether or not an answer is required. Wasn't done. Some discovery generally is required. Obviously, cross-examination, the whole gamut is done at a adversarial and contested hearing. Here, there's no adversary to be adversarial with. St. Louis County has never filed an entry of appearance in this case. They did appear briefly, 15 minutes, at the two hearings, but there's no one to act as an adversary in the matter. The matter has never been handled adversarially by the Boundary Commission. Were
they required to? Is that just error that they failed to give the contested case hearing rights? Or
I don't think it's error. I think that's the way that they wanted to handle it. And
I mean, the statute requires a public hearing. What does that mean? A public hearing, is that an adjudication?
There's a lot of statutes out there that require a public hearing, but it doesn't mean you have to have a contested case. For instance, David and I are both city attorneys. We have to have a public hearing before we set the city levy, the tax levy. That doesn't mean it's a contested case. We have to have public hearings to do just a multitude of things before we disperse out CDBG grants.
None of the people who your opponent indicates were engineered out of the annexation appeared to say they really wanted to be annexed by Valley Park. Your opponent says Valley Park engineered this. They sort of manipulated the area they wanted to annex to keep people that would oppose the annexation out of that area. Did any of those people object to say we want to be part of the annexation?
I guess I want to hone in on the word opponents.
Not opponents. There's someone on the other side of your case.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this guy here in the white here. Go ahead. He's your opponent. You're one side. He's the other side.
Yeah. He really shouldn't be on a point. He's an adjudicator.
He's a lawyer. Just to answer the question.
Right, okay. There was criticism levied by St. Louis County, Missouri, that was picked up by the Boundary Commission to the effect that, yes, I'd engineered three houses out of this particular boundary annexation.
But your opposing counsel represents the Boundary Commission, not a landowner, not St. Louis County, not anybody else.
That's
it's
correct.
The Boundary Commission.
That's correct.
Okay.
And should be, in my estimate, a neutral adjudicator in the matter, but whatever.
They were the decision maker in this case?
Yes.
As opposed to an opposing party?
That's correct. At any rate, this is clearly a non-contested matter. It's expeditious to handle it in that way. It makes sense to seek public input in this matter. But don't impose a non-legislated standard of contested review if it's going to be an uncontested formula.
Is there a standard the Boundary Commission uses in making its decision? Does it depend on what evidence is presented at the public hearing?
I don't think so. It doesn't say that in their statutes. I'm not really completely clear as to their total decision-making process, in as much as the decision-making process was made sometime after the public hearing. And I guess to go further, I'm really unclear as to their decision-making process, in as much as it certainly didn't conform to the contested case requirement that findings and conclusions are made and made separately. Rather, they did a summary of decision, which obviously to me seems like a novel, but it certainly doesn't read, nor does it have any way, shape, or form of a findings of fact and conclusions of law that the statutes under the Administrative Procedure Act require.
Well, one of the elements that you concede is relevant to the determination of whether it's a contested case is whether the hearing seeks to affect legal rights of specific parties rather than the public at large.
Yes.
And that your opponent argues that this proceeding did in fact affect rights of specific parties rather than public at large. Could you address that?
Well, I think this comes from my citation of the Midland case out of the Michigan Supreme Court. And my opponent uses some syllogistic logic, I think, in saying, well,
You have an opponent. Okay.
I'm sorry. you're correct. My opponent indicates that if it doesn't affect the rights, duties, and liabilities of the parties, then what are we doing here? You know, I've got no remedy, basically, is what he's saying. I don't think that's where at least the Midland case is coming from. The Midland case examined the issue of whether a boundary commission proceeding is contested or non-contested and said, hey, as a matter of law, it's a non-contested matter. It doesn't have to be a contested case. And the reason it came to that conclusion was the townships in Michigan, much like the county in St. Louis, are the townships have a greater political structure, obviously, in Michigan than they do in Missouri. They were the net losers of property under annexations under the Michigan statutory scheme. In that matter, the townships bring a blanket challenge to the Michigan Boundary Commission Act, saying, one, hey, there's a denial of equal protection because cities with or proposed annexed areas with less than 100 people are treated differently because there's no elections if the Boundary Commission adjudicates, where 100 people or more have to have an election. The Michigan Supreme Court says no. Based on the Hunter principle, Hunter versus Pittsburgh, there is no specific interest other than the general interest of the public in an annexation because this is exclusively the province of the legislature. Hey, they can change the law anytime they want. No one has a vested right in the boundaries of a city or political subdivisions. The next challenge then comes on a substantive due process, and they say, hey, the law substantively to accord due process requires a contested hearing. You didn't give a contested hearing to the litigants here, so therefore proceedings are void. Michigan Supreme Court then, again, using the Hunter analysis, says this is not a contested case as a matter of law. It's an uncontested case. I think that's obviously relevant to this court's inquiry into whether it's contested or non-contested. This is a case of first impression. In
the Michigan statute, though, it talked about that it was a determination of the rights or duties or privileges of a named party.
Right.
And we don't have that same, do we have that same definition of contested case?
Well, it's pretty much of a mirror image, I thought, Judge.
Is it?
Now, one thing about the Michigan case I think that's interesting, it doesn't really matter in that situation other than to the substantive due process argument whether the case is contested or non-contested. Because the Michigan legislature, when they did the Michigan Boundary Commission Act, said review of Michigan Boundary Commission cases shall be done as a contested case under the Michigan Administrative Procedure Act. We don't have that here. Our legislature could have done it, maybe should have done it, and maybe will do it with the urging of St. Louis County and or the Boundary Commission, but it hasn't happened yet. And to that extent, I would simply urge this court to uphold the decision of Judge Clifford. And
if we reviewed it on the merits, you also go to that. Can you briefly address that issue?
Well, briefly, on the merits, we presented, I believe, an overwhelming case before the trial judge. Every element was completely satisfied. We had an expert witness that was the former the head of planning for the city of St. Louis that went over every element. For instance, the Boundary Commission had said that the Merrimack River, which is a river that forms the southern boundary of the city of Valley Park, which, by the way, isn't even listed as a major tributary in St. Louis County, formed an impediment to the city servicing the other side. We brought in our fire chief, we brought in police testimony, we brought in our expert, who said, absolutely not. There's a major highway. Missouri State Highway 141 with six lanes that connects the area. There's certainly no impediment. The fire district goes across that area. He's never had a problem, although all the fire district stations are within the city of Valley Park.
Opposing counsel says even if you had some evidence to support what the trial judge did, their evidence before the Boundary Commission, the trial court took judicial notice of, and you failed to show it was arbitrary, capricious, or an abuse of discretion.
I just with what I recited, I think that rises to the level of arbitrary, capricious, together with, I mean, there were some other little blurbs in their summary of decision, which again, it's very confusing. But in the summary decision, it indicates that, if somehow this area is annexed, it forms an impediment to getting from one part of St. Louis County to the other part of St. Louis County.
So the trial court found that was not the case.
Okay. The trial court found absolutely that's not the case. Valley Park didn't put toll roads or in any way throw up obstacles to people traveling on public streets or performing any sort of...
This annexation does not affect Highway 141 at all?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
All right, 2 points, if I may. The first is, it appears in listening to this that the concern may be that if you have the right to a hearing that is created by the Constitution, as in the Weber case, parties can waive those constitutional due process protections and proceed to a hearing no matter what the Constitution may say.
The question is what the statute requires, and if by using the word hearing it automatically means that have an adjudicatory hearing, and we've had cases where we said there's all different kinds of hearings and you have to look and see what the statute requires.
Exactly, and I think that's my next point is that the Boundary Commission statute does talk in terms of a public hearing, not just a hearing and certainly not an adversarial hearing. It doesn't use that word. But the rules do give a little more flesh to the bones of what that public hearing is supposed to be.
But those rules do not meet the statutory requirement for what you do in a contested case. I mean, the Boundary Commission did not treat it, it did not see the statutes requiring it to hold a contested case hearing because it didn't do any of the things required by 536.070, 536.063, I think it is, 067. Right. They didn't do any of those things. They didn't interpret it as a contested case until they got to the circuit court and didn't want additional evidence put on.
No, but I think that analysis saying that everything and that the panoply of all those procedural protections in the statute have to be given or it's not a contested case is not consistent with 536.0603, which says the procedural formalities can be waived, which is my point. In Weber, the Constitution said you had to give them a hearing, and I guess the ruling is that the parties can waive those constitutional protections. But then we're saying if the statute says you have these constitutional protections and you have a right to these elements of a hearing, and you can waive those procedural protections, then you can't waive it, even though the statute specifically says you can't.
Who are the Valley Park, the annexed area, or the people next to the annexed area? Who are the parties? St. Louis County?
The parties are Valley Park and St. Louis County and the people within the area.
How is it a party here? Was it made a party to this?
They're required to receive notice of the hearing, and they're given the opportunity to come and express their position.
Are any of their rights or obligations determined by what the Boundary Commission does?
Sure. Because if the citizens who are outside the area are annexed into Valley Park, they're going to pay another 1 cent in sales tax, and they're going to pay 54 cents for $100 of assessed valuation in property tax.
Are they a party, the ones that are not annexed?
The ones who are
have
in the
an
area
interest,
to
but
be annexed.
Have not been chosen to be annexed by Valley Park, are they not a party?
They're a party who has a right to come and object, and they did. Now, this really comes down to a policy question, which I don't know if I can get into in 16 seconds, but I think the Boundary Commission law was passed to streamline the annexation process in St. Louis County. We have 91 municipalities and those municipalities were tying up the courts. This gives us a proceeding that under the Weber case is less formal and less expensive. If parties want to request more procedural protections, let them do it. But let's give us this less formal, less expensive.
Isn't that what they did by appealing to the circuit court?
Well, they should have asked us before the hearing. My goodness, to come to this point and then object? They didn't object at any point.
But if it was a if all they were entitled to was a non-contested case review, then they had nothing to object to, because they got what they were entitled to under the statute. If the statute treats it as a non-contested,
they evidently assumed it was non-contested case review because they didn't ask anything. I don't know that for a fact, Judge. But my point is, they could have asked if they'd wanted to, and they could have said, "We need to cross-examine witnesses, and we need to have."
They can't turn a non-contested case under the statute into a contested case.
Oh, I think this is a contested case.
Okay.
That they could ask for additional procedural protections if they wanted them.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.